All right, so it's been 2.5 years since we started the Funnel Hacker Radio podcast. And recently, we started taking a look back over 300 plus episodes and realizing, you know what? We're at that point right now where what we want to do is help you guys understand the impact that you actually can have with your own audience. So what we want to do is want to invite you and have you join us in our journey to 100,000 users, all before the end of 2019. Why is this so important to you? Because every single one of you guys need to be out there publishing. You need to be finding a way that you can actually build a community, a way in which you can actually bring more people closer to you, a way that you can share more of what you currently know. So join us on our journey. We're gonna be interviewing a ton of different people. Some of those people have been part of the ClickFunnels journey. Others are actually out building their own journeys and building their own cultures and building their own communities. And we wanna make sure that you're doing the exact same thing. So hop on, join along for the ride as we journey to 100,000 users. Hey, everybody. Well, now, for those of you guys who were listening to the last episode, you heard Todd's backstory of basically how he went from this college whiz kid, actually even in high school, creating websites, doing AdSense, making really living the four-hour work week, meets Russell Brunson, and now the two of them are strategizing on exactly how world domination is going to take place. So the rest of this episode you're going to hear about next is Todd and Russell's world domination takeover and exactly Todd's view on all the things that have happened and really where we're going next with ClickFunnels. So Todd, welcome back.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm super excited about this. So last time we were talking, you guys had just been working on this whole auto webinar platform, trying to look at creating almost landing pages for it. And then the two guys got together and said, well, if we're going to do that, what else can we do? Lead pages gets the 5 million. You're frustrated. And the two of you guys sit down to kind of get out on a whiteboard and take the next few months to build ClickFunnels. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's absolutely fair to say. It's kind of funny because we just spent probably the past 3 years, Russell had this idea that he wanted to get a piece of a lot of different businesses in a lot of different markets. So we went into, I think it was 15, maybe 18 different, literally completely different businesses that had different avatar characters that we partnered with on the front end. We ran the entire businesses. So I had just finished building probably whatever it was, 15 different, not just sites, but like full businesses with funnels and everything for the thing. And I'm like, Russell, I'm literally doing the exact same thing over and over again. I could automate most of this, right? So I was able to see kind of behind the scenes and find the patterns in what we were doing on all these funnel buildings and find like really what was needed to like be the core of all these different offers that we were creating across literally 15 different industries. There was no rhyme or reason. Everything from drop shipping dogs to supplements.
I remember actually my wife's business was going to be one of those things. I remember Body Evolution was one of those things. Right. Actually Joy, who we just hired to be our executive producer, she had her mommy preschool thing. I mean, it was, yes. I remember sitting around in that table going, there are a million different industries. How is Russell going to pull this off?
Well, we didn't pull off all of those necessarily, but we did pull off learning a whole heck of a lot more about funnel building, or I did at least, and about what was needed to create a platform to actually let people do this themselves.
Oh my gosh. So with that, now you go ahead and you've got this experience as far as 15 businesses plus years of coding, everything else. The two of you guys kind of get together. What actually took place during that summer? I mean, how did you actually create what you created? I mean, I remember the beta launch and everything else behind it. I was like, how did they pull this off?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. So in the beginning, I'm pretty sure I was everything from the designer to the programmer and just kind of, I built the fully functioning software that was, it built pages, it connected them, did submissions, did orders, did the whole process, did auto webinars, and did everything we needed. And I remember showing it to Russell and he's like, this is amazing, but it's so ugly. And I was like, well, I'm kind of a programmer, not really that much of a designer. And I think we brought somebody in at the time that did a little bit of like polish work on it. And we kind of got it where it was like, okay, that's pretty good. And then we of course just met up with Dylan at some point in there, and he came in and actually did a full revamp of the UI, gave me some amazing designs that broke off and turned it into an actually functioning app. And we kind of went from there. I'm trying to remember exactly how everything played out, but that summer I do remember we had the thing functioning and it was just a matter of kind of getting together, tweaking things. We were still launching these other businesses. It wasn't like we had pivoted and like, oh, ClickFunnels is the only thing we're doing. We were still launching all 15 of these other businesses. We were running a couponing site. We were running a major supplement company doing $500,000 a month on a supplement company. And I was still at the same time building ClickFunnels in like basically my free time. Like it was literally like like, okay, when there's not things that are actually producing revenue, like we'll go work on ClickFunnels. But yeah, Russell was creating, we had the idea for explainer videos. I think he was working on the explainer videos during that time period where it was like, let's create some explainer videos and show people how things work. And those worked really well. We still use that company a lot for new videos we do these days even. But yeah, that was kind of getting it to a point where it was a functioning product that we were ready for a launch. And, yeah, that's what I spent the entire summer working on, basically.
Well, I remember the beta launch and how it didn't quite go exactly the way it was planned.
No, everything always goes how it's planned. No, nothing goes as planned. So early on in the day, in the beginnings of it, we had built an editor that was static. It was on par with what was on the market at the time. There was nothing out there that was like, oh, I can move this here, move this there with like seamless responsiveness, right? Like we had built something on par with the competition. So we found that was fraught with all kinds of problems. We had created maybe 150 templates or something at the time, but every template was slightly coded differently, had its own slight little bugs. And we spent so much time during that beta launch gathering feedback and like tweaking templates that became like the full-time job, like tweaking the designs on the templates, which we were like, this is just not sustainable, but let's keep going. So we powered through that. And I remember literally we had friends. I can't remember if you came out at the time, but we had like other friends and Russell's buddies and stuff coming out. And we're like, hey, you got this template and this template, like, let us know what you find. And like, we would go through and tweak.
Oh yeah.
And update things. And oh man, it was kind of a nightmare, honestly, about trying to do all that. And I think during the beta launch, we actually launched, I feel like there was like maybe 500 or 1,000 people that came in during beta. Like we had a decent amount of people, at least to me, it was decent. Russell's this is horrible. How do we not have tens of thousands of people day one?
I totally remember that. And I think the part I remember connecting with you guys, the next piece actually was in San Diego at Mike Phil Same's event. Ashley was basically the person at the table at the booth across from LeadPage's booth. And Russell was, it was so funny because she was an amazing salesperson, just talking trash about LeadPages, who literally could hear her. Literally, I mean, this hallway is maybe 10 feet wide and 6 feet of it's for the booths.
Oh my gosh.
I remember sitting there going, oh my gosh, this is hilarious. And I walked in and I saw Russell pitch. I remember standing in the back with you and Russell afterwards. And just seeing the table rush and thinking, my gosh, we're onto something. This is crazy. And I remember Russell thinking, oh, now we'll have 10,000 users. And you're going, do you know 10,000 users right now would kind of cripple us?
Yeah. So many things that I could talk about related to that. So that event was definitely a game changer for us, obviously. Like that was when we found, like Russell figured out the offer, which is super key to actually growing and expanding it. But when we went into setup, yes, we were directly across from, at the time, literally LeadPages was the only competition that I know of on the market. They were the only other ones really doing what we were doing. And our big call to action was, and our literally our t-shirts and our signs, they were all, can your landing page software do this? And it had like landing page, sales page, upsell page, order form fulfillment, membership area. It had like all the like screenshots of it.
Yeah.
And it was like, our signs were directly across, posted side by side. And we're not like big halls. We're like 3 to 4 feet away from your sign promoting lead pages, landing pages. And we're like, can they do this? And that entire, like it was, I did genuinely feel bad. Like it was literally like people would go from their booth to our booth and back and forth. And they're like, so what do you guys do that they don't do? And we'd be like, well, we do this, this, and this, and this, and this. And they're like, well, what do they do that you don't do? And we're like, I don't think anything. Like, they're like, well, why would I sign up for them? And we're like, I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I know that was one of our – go ahead.
I was just going to say, their founder actually got on stage and spoke right before Russell, too. Got up and did like an educational presentation where it was just like, I'm going to teach you guys about some conversion things that we found. And it was like, cool. He didn't sell anything, like didn't, no call to action, no marketing whatsoever. I don't think he necessarily was in that world at all. Like didn't know how to pitch from stage per se. And just like, yeah, we're like a thing. We got a booth, like go check it out if you want. Russell gets up next. And I think it was 45% of the room is what we figured out. He closed on $1,000 offer. It was just like, whoa, okay. We might have something.
That was the game changer. Well, if you want to kind of fast forward at this point, I know the next, one of the biggest hurdles was when ClickFunnels crashed.
Ooh, now you're giving me PTSD.
I know.
So early on, like that was the other thing you kind of alluded to there with the 10,000 customer thing. So literally when I built this thing, so I built software that had supported 100,000 users before, but ClickFunnels is very complex compared to most software. It does a whole lot of things. It's not just a static page that sits there. It does like all kinds of stuff the whole time. But I told him early on, I was like, I think what I built's good to probably 10,000 users, and then we're going to need to, you know, bring in some outside experience and try to figure out how to scale this thing properly. And I think it was around 10,000 users when we had that significant outage, which was actually related to putting way too much trust in one of our vendors that we were trying to get out of and trying to migrate to someone else, and they had us locked in, and we're like, but we need, it was one of those things where they're like, yeah, you can migrate out, but it's going to require you to spend 8 hours of downtime. And we're like, well, we don't want to do that. So for whatever timing there, we were forced to take 8 hours of downtime because their infrastructure crashed, which gave us the time period to migrate to Amazon, where we are today with, you know, Amazon's literally the forefront leader of software as a service infrastructure. So literally we're on the best stuff we can be now, but it took that crisis period of downtime to get us to it, unfortunately.
Well, I remember I was actually in Denver at, I think it was GKIC's Info Summit. Russell had just jumped on a plane, just spoke. He had just jumped on a plane. So I remember him speaking, going, we were sitting there going, can I actually sell this from stage, Todd? Is this actually going to be there? And then he jumps on a plane with his family headed to London, going, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And I remember the Vox is, I've got to go back and actually cap. I seriously thought, what? I left all my real estate stuff. I'd come on board with you guys, and I was like, I'm screwed.
I don't even want to, like, so I'm usually a pretty positive, upbeat person, and I'm just like, I remember this too, because I'm always like, I got it, man. Like, I'll figure it out. It's fine. Like, I know it's bad right now. Like, let me see what we can do. Like, I got smart guys on it. Like, we're going to work on it. We're going to figure something out. And he asked me, like, obviously he's getting harassed nonstop about it. So he asked me a couple more times. And like my third reply back was like, I don't know, man, we're effed. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, he's like, oh man. And then he like has to go on stage. I'm like, you keep bugging me. I don't know. Like, I'm not sure what the answer is right now. I think we're going to be fine. But
well, for you to say that, because you're not a guy who swears much at all, if ever. And I remember listening to that Vox going, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? But as always, you pulled it off. And I know Ryan was involved in that as well. And and magically, honestly, I was just so that I think the coolest part about that was the open transparency that we had with all of our customers.
Yeah.
That's one of the main things that really built the culture. And I think the cool part about it is, as I take a look at it now, I don't think we lost even one customer just because we were going, listen, we use the platform more than anybody else does. We know how important this is. We understand it's your business. It's our business too. And I think it was really one of those points where, again, as the people who just barely kind of got started with us, they all just came together. It was the most unique experience I'd ever seen with a business.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's exactly, I think obviously in the back of our mind was like, we're probably going to lose half our customers. I don't know what's going to happen after this. And like you said, there was no visible drop in user base after that entire outage. It was just like, yeah, guys, we understand, like, what, but you also have been perfectly fine for years. And then this is the first time you've had a problem. So people cut us slack. We were open. We told them what was going on. We let them follow along. It's not great, but as soon as we're back online and have everything running perfectly again, we'll let you guys know. And that's just kind of, I think we've always been open and transparent with everything we're working on, kind of in that same regard. Russell's open with financials. He's open with vision and plans. Like, he's not worried about, oh, what's competition going to think, or how can I spend this or whatever. It's just like, you know, here's what's going on, guys. We're going to tell you the truth. And I'm sorry if you need to go somewhere else. That's fine. Like, more power to you. Wish the best.
Yeah, I honestly, so for those of you guys who are listening, when you're talking about building culture, that kind of transparency that we've been fortunate that both Todd and Russell have been so transparent with has really been probably one of the main contributing factors to people trusting and having faith in a platform and a software that literally has changed at this point hundreds of thousands of people's lives, if not probably approaching millions when you look at the products of our clients and everything else. And I think it's all because of, Todd, what you made mention there is we have been totally transparent, and at times maybe to a fault, but I think it really has, It has. It's helped a ton.
Yeah, absolutely. I think at the time, I mean, people don't realize, but we are actually one of the highest trafficked single app sites in the world, probably. If you look at like our Alexa ranking, which of course isn't perfect, but I think we're in the top maybe 300-500 in the US according to their rankings, which is awesome. It's
so crazy.
But it includes none of the custom domains on the entire platform.
Yeah.
So like the majority of our high traffic users use custom domains. Alexa can't factor that in. Like I would venture to say we're in the top couple hundred if at the very lowest. It's just a lot of traffic, a lot of stuff that's going through, and we're really having to stay on the cutting edge of software development online in order to keep things running perfectly and give you guys all the features and stuff that you actually need to be successful and to get the highest conversions and everything that you need. So,
well, I love it. Well, a lot of you guys who are listening to this, you can get the recordings from Funnel Hacking Live to hear each year. Todd and Russell do a State of the Union, kind of talking about the things that have happened, where it's going, what's happening. But Todd, right now, if you were to kind of take out your crystal ball and say, we're currently at almost 82,000 customers, which is insane. After 4.5 years, when you look at our competition, who's never been able to come close to that. But what do you see? What's next for ClickFunnels users?
I think we're aiming for 100,000 this year. That's what I think. It's not a set target, but I think we're going to get there. That's my goal personally.
Well, that's mine too. So I know our goal the first of the year was 85,000. And I was like, that's
we had to reset low. Expectation. Yeah. We hit that within a couple months. So a few months.
You and I are on the same page, 100,000.
Let's extend it a little bit and set it up there a little bit higher. So really a lot of what we're working on the product side of things is providing more and better tools for people, giving them the stability and things they actually need and doubling down on the existing feature set, plus rolling out additional new features to stay cutting edge at the forefront of things and really optimizing and making things seamless for people to run their entire business on our platform. Or if they would like to bring in a third party application to do part of what they need to do, they are perfectly welcome to do that. And our system is going to always stay open to letting you do that and letting you stay integrated with those other providers so you can actually run the business the way you want to. Or if you would like to keep things simple and run it all on us, we want to also give you the best possible tools that we can to run it all on us as well.
I love it. Well, Todd, I appreciate your time so much. As we kind of get close to wrapping things up here, I know one of the things people are going to be dying to know more about, and that is you've been an entrepreneur really your whole life. I mean, building websites in high school. What to our community of 82,000 customers, soon to be 100,000, for those people who are just getting started, what advice, what encouragement, what type of things would you tell them to do?
Man, I think it's tough, but I think there's at its core, you have to keep going. I never really envisioned us creating a business that got to where it was right here. We actually exceeded my expectations. But there were also times that I wanted to quit, that I definitely considered just taking a job. Getting emails from LinkedIn to take a job seemed really tempting at some points in my life. But I had a plan, I had a vision, I had a goal, and I knew that it could be accomplished. I just decided to stick to it. And I think the other piece, the big thing might be the work for free thing. Like a lot of people are really scared and feel like they need to be justified and paid something for their time. But I think experience is the best thing you could possibly be paid for your time. And whether it's working for free in your own business and understanding you may not take a paycheck for a while, or if it's working for free for someone else to go find the best person in your industry, the best person in the world that you want to learn from and work under or with, like go do that. Go work with them. Work for free. Get some experience.
I think that is some of the best advice. I've always tried to do the exact same thing. I look at even my experience with you and Russell over the years, as far as there was a lot of work for free time there as well. And I think I think the fun part about it is you get to know, it's like dating. You get to know somebody without any expectations because you're not paying them and they're working for free, and you really get to see what a person's true character is. And because there's no strings attached, it's like, this may not work. It may not, but there's no promise here. You don't have a paycheck. And I know that it's been so much fun for me just over the years working with you and Russell together and things to see your guys' character and to see who you guys are at your core, as far as very, very strong family people. It's fun for me to see your spiritual side and to see you and Ashley and the way you raise your daughters, and just to see who you are as an individual is is probably the thing that was most attractive to me when I was offered the opportunity of working with you and Russell was just knowing at your core, when all else fails, I mean, you're like one of the nicest guys in the world whose heart is always in the right place. You're never the guy who's out there trying to make a quick buck. You're really there just trying to do whatever it's going to take to help as many people as possible. I see what you do in your church. I see what you do with your family and with others and your donations and things. And you always step up and put your actions where your mouth is. And it's been, I think that's one of the things I've had the opportunity of seeing anytime I've worked for anyone for free is you see both sides. You see what the character of the person you're working with is, but they also see yours. So I totally agree. It's some of the best advice I think anyone can have.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dave.
Well, I appreciate it. Well, I know people want to reach out to you. What's the best place? Is Instagram probably easiest right now?
Instagram is kind of my favorite. I like to say that Facebook is a to-do list for me. There's always something on there I can get on and help someone with, but Instagram's the place that I spend more time. So, yeah.
So it's Todd Dickerson, Instagram?
Yep, at Todd Dickerson.
All right, guys. So check out at Todd Dickerson. I think you're kicking my butt right now. I think you're at like almost 100,000 people, and I'm like down in the 40s or something. You're killing it.
Catching up, Dave.
Well, Todd, thanks so much. Again, I appreciate it a ton, and I look forward to talking to you real soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Dave.
All right. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Right now, as we're going on our journey to 100,000 users, we really want to invite you along. And one of the ways we can invite you along is we want to find out what you think about what we're currently doing. So please rate, review this, share this with others, take a picture of this and post on Instagram, tag us in it, tag Funnel Hacker Radio or tag Dave Woodward. We'd love to know what your thoughts are. And most importantly, the ways that we can actually help you journey to whatever number of users or customers or community you're trying to build. Remember, you're just one funnel away.